The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Cooking Like a Pro. This is Mrs. Chef Carista DiMercurio. Chef Cal is out on assignment tonight, and instead, I have a lovely co-host across from me. I am running the show tonight, and please welcome...
Hi, I'm Sadie Kruger.
Welcome, Sadie Kruger. If you guys know the name Kruger, her husband is our official weatherman of local North State, Mike Kruger. And we've had you on the show a few times because you are a pro. We've done a lot of gigs and events and teaching and catering with you. You started out working with Cal years ago.
I did, yeah.
What did you do? How did you end up in his restaurant?
Well, I was cooking over at a hospital with one of his friends, Grin, and he was moonlighting, doing some cooking, and they needed a waitress. So I thought, well, it's a good way to make some extra money during the holidays. And so I worked some catering events during the holidays with him. And, yeah, learned a little bartending. And
had you done any food service before that as far as cooking?
Yeah, I was cooking at the hospital at the time.
Okay.
So I'd had some cooking experience, but, yeah, I just did the waitressing, though.
But you did see what fine dining could be.
Yes, there was a maitre d', and I got some lessons.
Did you learn how to open a bottle and pour some wine?
I did, and don't wear white socks with black pants and black shoes.
No, okay. You'll look like Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
You could do the moonwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you doing right now? You are teaching some students. What ages are they, and what are you teaching them?
Okay, I have two jobs, but my full-time job during the day is with a high school known as CHIBA, but it also stands for California Heritage Youth Build Academy.
And so it's a charter school.
It's a charter school, and they have students 15 to up to 24 that can be in the program, and so if they're over 18, they can still go and get their diploma. So it makes it a kind of a unique thing.
So they can get a GED type situation?
An actual diploma.
An actual diploma, even beyond 18.
Correct.
And that's using culinary skills.
Well, it's a traditional high school, but there's a construction program and a culinary program that are an apprenticeship program to help them get into the workforce. So it's approved with AmeriCorps, so they can actually get paid a stipend to come to my program. And then after they complete 300 hours, they get a scholarship for, I think it's at $1,500 now, that they can apply to secondary education. So I have a couple students who just completed, actually four, and two of them are going to Shasta College Culinary Program.
Very cool.
So it's very exciting because we're kind of a smaller school.
How many students do you have at any one time?
Usually eight. I have two cohorts and then an elective that I'm doing currently.
So they get some really good hands-on training.
Yes. Yep.
So what is the hardest thing to teach them, do you think?
Well, cleaning is definitely on there, you know. It's there's a lot that goes into cleaning, you know. After every time you use something, you got to clean it. How to use the dish machine, you know, because that's kind of the least fun, kind of sexy thing in the kitchen.
Well, I think when people think culinary and chefs, they're thinking fire, knives, pans, things going everywhere. But what people don't really think about is behind the scenes, there is so much going on in organization, planning, cleaning, prepping. That is very much a chef's job. It's not just standing there in front of a cutting board or in front of a stove.
And time management. You know, if we want to get done at the same time, we make our lunch. So we want to make sure that everybody can eat at the same time. So you really have to kind of prioritize your meal.
Do they actually eat in the classroom?
They do. After we're done, we eat our meal. So, like, the little lemon bar cups that okay, I brought. So that was from class
sitting
today.
In front of me right now, because of course you can't see it because you are listening. There are little cups full of lemon curd. Now, this lemon curd was made from scratch?
Yes.
What type of lemons? Were they a Meyer lemon or a classic lemon? This is a Meyer lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Grown here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Tell us about the process.
So this is kind of a reverse process that we did. So we were doing, you know, like to do a couple techniques. So you actually mix the sugar, butter, egg, and then lemon juice together in a stand mixer with a paddle attachment. And then once that's all together, it kind of looks curdled. And then you take it to the saucepan and you cook it for about 5 minutes until it thickens. So, which is a little different than most lemon curds that you do over a double boiler.
So it's quick cooked. You have a very direct mm-hmm. heat on it.
Correct.
Now, can you take it too far cooking it?
You can always take it too far.
When would you serve these?
I love them like Mother's Day. We just had that, so it'd be perfect for that. Any kind of little luncheon or, you know, lunch is usually a good one.
Now, do these kids actually eat vegetables? Do they make salads?
We also did a beef and broccoli and jasmine rice.
Okay, so, you did that today? That was your menu today?
Yeah, so that was our dessert. But, yes, I try to get some vegetables in them, too.
Well, I'm wondering, do you fight with them to try and get them to try things that are uncomfortable for them to eat?
We have a no thank you bite policy. So you try one bite, you know.
Can they share with a partner?
Yes.
Can they trade food?
Yeah,
hey, I'll trade you a lemon curd for my beef and broccoli.
Yes. No, I try to do food that they all want to eat. So usually I kind of know they'll eat broccoli or, you know, what group will eat corn and beans.
What's on the menu tomorrow?
Oh, what are we doing tomorrow?
I stumped you.
You stumped me. I'd have to look at my menu.
So that's very awesome that they can actually earn work credit, money, and hours, and get a diploma. Even if they have gone beyond 18, they still have a chance to turn things around and still enter the workplace with this on their resume.
Correct. Yeah. So they also get the food handler certification, and they have an opportunity to sit for the manager's certification. Yes. And then they have the AmeriCorps experience that they could put on their resume as well.
That is so awesome. Now, you said you have two jobs. What's the other one?
So the other one, I teach online at Shasta College. So I teach in the Hospitality and Culinary Arts Department. So I had a final today for the safety and sanitation. It's for the manager certification.
Yes.
So it's a prerequisite for the culinary program.
Does this prep them for the serve safe testing?
Yep. And then at the end of the class, they sit and take that exam.
So they're going for serve safe manager, not food handlers, but serve safe manager.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you teach that, but then you're also what they call a proctor. With ServSafe. So if somebody needs to get a ServSafe manager certification, you're the one that sits there and watches them take it, make sure that they're not cheating, they're not looking at their phone, they're not having little notes scribbled on the inside of their hands, correct?
Correct.
Now, how serious is a ServSafe manager certification? I don't think a lot of people know that every restaurant has to have a ServSafe manager.
Correct.
And at least one. And then everybody that walks through the door that works also has to have a food handler.
Correct.
How long is the ServSafe manager test?
It's 80 questions. Is that what you mean?
Yes. How intense is it?
It's like the DMV. You know, they. I always say read all the answers because sometimes there's a better one at the bottom. So it's 80 questions, and you have to get 75% or better. And it's not open book. And it is kind of worded a little tricky sometimes.
To kind of catch you off guard.
Make sure you know it frontwards and backwards.
Yeah. What would you say would be the hardest thing for people to try and learn in ServSafe certification?
Well, I always recommend the book and really studying that. But maintenance and equipment is kind of a tough one for people because if you're not using it all the time, you might not, you know, understand all the methods for it, like having something that has to be 6 inches off the floor, but that's so you can get a broom underneath it and a mop underneath it. So they're kind of weird, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of measurements, a lot of temperatures, mm-hmm. because you have to have your thermometer in the freezer, you have to have your thermometer in the refrigerator, you have to have your light bulbs screwed in. So a lot of maintenance in just being able to see and where right. you can move so that you're not tripping over things, there aren't hazards. But then you've also got the temperatures, you know, for cooling things down, heating things up. There are, like you said, 80 questions, and that's not even all the things you do learn. That's mm-hmm. just the one they test you on.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot more that goes into that.
How long does it take to go through the certification course?
So we switched it up last year. So we're doing, it's an 8-week kind of an intensive one. So instead of, you know, 16 weeks, we've got it down to 8.
That's very intense. That's a lot to learn about cleaning and mm-hmm. managing. Well, guess what? We are going to go on a break. And when we come back, we're going to start talking about cleaning our kitchens because we've got a pro right here mm-hmm. talking to us, giving us all the rules and behind the scenes. So we're going to be back in just a moment.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
KIXE PBS and Indie Lens Pop-Up present a free screening of the film Matter of Mind, My Alzheimer's, an intimate portrayal of three families confronting the unique challenges of Alzheimer's and how this progressive disease transforms roles and relationships. Join us May 14th at 5 p.m. at Dignity Health's Connected Living at 200 Mercy Oaks Drive in Reading to watch this important film and to discover what resources are available for families from local brain health partners.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Happy little working song. Merry little voices, clear and strong. Come and roll your sleeves up, so to speak, and pitch in. Cleaning crud up in the kitchen as we sing along.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. Well, part of cooking is cleaning. Actually, it is the beginning and it is the end of cooking, really, truthfully, truth be told. So, do you have a problem not cooking because you don't want to clean?
Yeah, I think everybody does. You're like, oh, I know what it's going to take to do that. So, yeah, doing some prep on the weekends, having things ready to go feels so good sometimes.
And how many times do you walk in the kitchen ready to cook something and then you see the condition of the kitchen and you stop and you get frustrated and you decide, let's just do takeout instead?
Well, Mike does a pretty good job helping keep it clean. So, yeah. But it is frustrating if you, you know, don't have a good clean space. And it depends on how much time it takes you. And then, of course, you have to clean afterwards. So, yeah, time management.
Well, if you have a team, meaning everybody that's in the house that's actually going to be consuming the food, it makes it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Especially if everybody can do their own dishes, mm-hmm. scrape your own plates, etc. So, life gets in front of us. It's busy. We come home at 5 o'clock. How can we be prepared to go into cooking mode? Because here's the goal. We don't want to be eating out, very little as possible. We don't want to be grabbing the frozen dinner if possible. We want to try and cook the best, freshest organic fruits and vegetables and meat possible. But You have to have a space to do that in. So what is something that you can do to get yourself in the mindset? It is mindset. Cooking is very much a mindset. You have to be prepared to go in to do it. So how would you say, let's get the kitchen ready to go in and start cooking? What would be the first thing that you would tell somebody?
Well, just being organized, making sure you have all the right equipment, right? Mise en place is that term, having everything in its place. Mm-hmm. So when you have everything ready to go, then it feels better. So for me, if I've got my recipe, I've got my food prepped, or ingredients at least ready to go. So kind of getting stuff staged the day before, so when I come home, it's just ready to, you know, grill or, you know, roast something and, like, do the final touches. So trying to minimize the amount of time.
So you would say if you're going to be cooking tonight, you would have planned either yesterday or at the very latest this morning.
Right.
How often do you come in last minute and prepare a meal without any preparation?
Very rarely. I mean, I will if I'm like, okay, what can I do? Clean out the fridge, you know, make something. But I like to have kind of a general idea throughout the week of what I'm going to do. So I'm shopping for everything, minimizing the time in the store. And having a general outline of what I'm going to do.
So the first de-stressor is to have a plan.
Correct.
Do you write it down? How do you keep track? Do you write things down? Do you have an app on your phone? Do you take notes? What do you do so that you know and be that you can remember what you decided to cook?
Yeah, so I like to do my menu in Google Docs, you know, so I can access it wherever I'm at, you know, if I'm at home or, you know, in the office. And then in my notes, actually, section on my phone is where I like to keep the, like, what it is for, like, the couple days. And then my shopping list. So I keep that in there so I'm, you know, I get at least a couple days worth of meal prep at the store.
Do you keep a running list of things that you're, you know, hey, I haven't had that in a long time. Let me put that down in my notes so I can think to do that next week when I go shopping. Do you do something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like on Pinterest, you know, board where you have some stuff saved. But I have like a little in my Google Docs, I have some ideas, you know.
Now, for some people, they don't know what Google Docs are. If you know what a Word doc is, some people are Word doc people and some are Google Docs. So it's just a page that you can type things into. And if you have a notes app on your phone, which pretty much anybody has an iPhone does, mm-hmm. a great place to put bullet points and check marks and make notations of things that you want to make soon. Or I even see things on TV. I'm like, you know what? That's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? You forget about it. Mm-hmm. Or you go through the magazine and you rip out the page and you put it in a file and you forget about it. But if you can keep a running list of things that you want to try in the near future, mm-hmm. that can actually help you write your menu. So you're like, I can't think of anything to cook. Well, last week you had like 3 great ideas, but we're at an age where we have to write things down. We don't remember to do it.
Yes. And things I'm out of, you know, so I add that to my shopping list. So I usually have a running log of things that I need going.
Okay, so in the restaurant business, we call that the almost out sheet.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it, as soon as you finish using something, you've almost finished using something, is to go write it down?
I like to do that because, like you said, you know, we forget. We've got so many things, and I'm buying food for 2 different locations, and I'm like, did I buy that for home or for school?
True. Now, mm-hmm. do you take some of this food that you make at school home? Do you get leftovers, or is that just what all the kids eat? Then you still got to make a whole other meal at home.
I still have to make a whole other meal. So, yeah, that goes to the kids or, you know, some of the teachers. It depends on how much is left over.
Do you ever make something at school and then go, you know what, I'm going to make that at home tonight also?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So you get inspired.
I do. And, you know, sometimes I have extra, like we made bagels and there was a lot of bagels left over.
Okay. I want to hear about this process. So you said you make bagels from scratch.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And like strawberry cream cheese. And yeah, that was one of our favorites.
So this is a yeast dough. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the process of making bagels from scratch.
So like your traditional bread dough, it has 2 rises that you'll do, but you will boil them. So that's the trick before you bake them is you boil them.
Do you boil them, was it molasses or there's something you add to the water a lot of times?
Yeah, some malt syrup.
Yes, malt.
Or a little honey, if you don't have that, will work too.
Okay. Then, so you kind of par cook them by boiling them.
Just for a minute on each side, and then you take them out, and you still have to bake them. And at that point, once you've got them out of, you know, boiled them, You brush them with your egg wash and put your seasonings on. So like jalapeno cheddar, everything bagel. Let's see, we did a brown sugar cinnamon crunch one.
So bagels are not that intimidating. It is just basic bread dough, which is
pretty much
flour, salt, water, yeast. And then you go through the rising, but there's a shaping technique because there's a little hole in the middle. What kind of shaping technique did you teach the kids to get that shape?
Well, we just roll it in a ball. So you know how you can use your hands and, like, you know, roll it into a nice, pretty ball. And then literally just put your thumb and middle finger through it.
Right
and,
through it.
And stretch it out. So they're, you know, maybe not as, you know, perfect as you would get at the store. But the taste is way better than you would get at the store.
I've seen some that they'll take their both, like, two fingers from each hand and put it through the middle. And then kind of just keep working it like a wheel. So that it stretches out the center, so that you have a little bit bigger hole. Is that what you guys did?
Yep, you just work it until you get it to where you're happy with it. And, you know, some of them, if it's not, you know, exact, I mean, it will still have a hole in it and maybe a little lumpy on one side sometimes. And,
it's
you know,
rustic. It's homemade.
Yeah, it was rustic, but they were still fabulous.
So then after you bake them, do you let them rest before you slice them and toast them?
Yeah.
What
just for a few minutes. I mean, you can eat them hot out of the oven, but, you know, I always let things cool off a little bit. And, yeah, we did a strawberry cream cheese schmear.
With some fresh really local strawberries?
Yes, yeah. We
okay, so talk about that. So you take cream cheese. Do you start with a block cream cheese or a whipped cream cheese?
Just a block. And, yeah, we made a strawberry sauce that we cooked strawberries, a little sugar, and then reduce that down. And I also like to put a little squirt of lemon juice in there, fresh lemon.
Do you put any cornstarch or pectin to tighten it up a little bit? Or
no, usually I just reduce it down for about 7 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes. It'll thicken up on its own.
Okay.
And then you have a nice thick strawberry sauce, and then you whip your cream cheese and add a couple tablespoons of the strawberry syrup to it.
And then put even more strawberry syrup on top.
Yes. And you can put a little bit of powdered sugar if you like it a little sweeter. But yeah.
So do you do that for a lunch item or for a breakfast item?
Breakfast or brunch.
Now, do the kids get to cook breakfast also, or is it just lunch? I mean, how long are they in the classroom?
From 9:30 to 12:30. So it's a three-hour class. So usually they've eaten. But sometimes I make an exception, and I'll let them make a smoothie or something. You know, we want to make sure that they're not starving when they're cooking.
Do you take them out shopping? Do they go to any of the local orchards to get product to make their smoothies or their strawberry jam?
Well, I do a summer program. So last year we did. You know, the produce really gets hopping in the summertime, right? So I did save a lot of, like, going to the farms and picking the produce for my summer program. And I think we might talk about it coming up, but yeah, I took the kids to Serendipity Farm last summer, and we picked our own boysenberries and peaches and made peach jam, strawberry jam, pomegranate jelly.
And then I remember hearing Mike was sharing one of your segments on his program that you guys were part of a program where you were planting strawberries.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, because it's AmeriCorps program, we have service days. So we go out and we do service projects, and Providence International is a local farm, and they reached out, and they had all these strawberry plants donated from Lassen Canyon Nursery, and they needed them all planted or they were going to lose them. So I brought in a couple classes, and, you know, we went in that greenhouse, and we potted all the strawberries, and for every five we did, they gave us one pot for the students and for our little community garden.
Was it like a crazy number, like 500 or something? How many plants was it?
A lot, yeah. At least 500 that we potted.
That is a lot of strawberries. And so was that this season that they were planted?
Yeah, and they should be coming up probably next month, and they'll be out at the in front of the Riverland Drive location. They're going to be doing a little farm stand out there and selling them.
Do the kids actually go back and do the selling?
Probably not. They have a team there. So a lot of times, like, our students are going to be at a school because it ends June 12th. So that's the downside. So maybe my summer program could come in there and help out. But
so they could actually go back and purchase the product that they helped plant.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a very cool process to be a part of.
Yeah, and we've done some cleanups out at Clear Creek and picked up trash and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, they're a great group.
Well, we are going to be taking another break, and when we come back, we will talk about even more healthful eating and kitchen keeping to help you clean and cook even better. So we'll be right back with Cooking Like a Pro.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Spring has sprung, and whether it's pollen, dust, dirt, or road grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has you covered. They offer car wash packages starting at $11, which includes a hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle automated pull-through wash, and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Reading Rodeo returns May 14th through the 17th. Four nights of rodeo excitement and fun for the whole family. We even added breakaway roping. Get your tickets now at ReadingRodeo.com. Bulls, barrels, bronks, and big-time thrills. Thank you to our sponsors, Sierra Pacific Industries, Block Beverage, Pendleton Whiskey, SNL Group, Reading Rancheria, Reading Rodeo, May 14th through the 17th. Get your tickets now at ReadingRodeo.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires, and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs, he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry, too.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro and Cleaning Like a Pro. What did Mr. Clean say? Walls, doors, and everything in between? That's what we'll be talking about next. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, Charlou's, down in Anderson. Have you been to Charlou's recently, Kate?
Not since they had that, what is it, like the baby bounce house thing next door?
Yeah, they've been open a couple of months with that. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. So you haven't seen that yet?
No.
Okay. You'll have to check that out. And when you go down there, have you tried their beer wall?
No.
Yeah, they have tap ciders on there. Mm. You get a card. You can go up to the wall. First, you load the card with money, and you can go up and just get like an ounce or 2 ounces of this. And there's all these different selections, and you can try them. I love it because I don't want a big 12-ounce, 16-ounce beer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just want a couple ounces, and that's the fantastic thing. You can get an ounce of this, an ounce of that. You can switch over to a cider. It is the coolest concept, and I love going there. Mm. Plus, they have this fantastic gnocchi. Mm. That comes with a giant meatball. Mm. So that is my selection. If you go down to Charlou's this week, get the gnocchi with the giant meatball, grab your tap card, get it loaded up, and go over and try a few different drinks with that because they are fantastic and they are wonderful sponsors to keep that show going.
Mm, it's like build your own flight. I love it.
Yeah. It is. You can totally build your own flight. Yes. All right. Back to cleaning. So when you walk into a kitchen, you don't want to see dirt and grime. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see drips and spots and crumbs. You want to have a clean kitchen, especially in a commercial kitchen. That is an absolute must. But it's also mentally prepares you to cook. Because if you walk into a dirty space, you don't really want to cook, right?
I agree. And, you know, it doesn't set the tone, you know, right? If you go into a dirty kitchen, it makes you think that they don't have good sanitation.
So I have put together a guide. Was it able to come up on your phone yet? Did it load?
Yes.
It did. So there's a pop-up on culinarilyyours.net. I have put a free guide on there that includes these things that we're talking about tonight. And there are I'm sure there's even more. I'm sure there's over 50, but I came up with 46 sneaky kitchen spots that need your attention that you don't really think about all the time. Yesterday I was in cleaning. We have Metro racks because in our laundry room is kind of a butler's pantry. It's where we keep all of our kitchen, small kitchen appliances. And our toaster oven had kind of pushed back a little bit. And when I pulled it forward, I could see the top of it. Mm-hmm. It was covered in crumbs. Mm. The top of my toaster oven. How? But then I had to stop and think, because I do store other kitchen appliances on that Metro rack, I had stored our regular toaster there, and the crumbs had fallen out of the regular four-slot toaster down on top of the toaster oven. It was sneaky. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it. When I pulled it forward, just because it had pushed back a little too far, there they were mm-hmm. on top. So here's a few things we can keep track of, and Sadie's going to pop in here and there with commercial things that we do on the side that can even help you at home to keep you clean and on top of things around your home kitchen. Cabinet door edges and handles. Do you ever touch a handle and have it be sticky?
Probably yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In my house, we bought a house that was over 50 years old. It did not have handles. And every single corner, bottom corners where they would touch the corner to open the cabinet had built up years of fingerprints and dirt and oils from their hands. So especially if you don't have handles, you need to especially keep your cabinet doors clean, because that can also cause cross-contamination, right? Because
yes.
you can reach in and grab things that you have touched that were dirty. Mm-hmm. So that is a weird thing that you probably haven't thought about it. Your stovetop knobs need to get pulled off. If you have an actual spider top on your oven where the little grates come off of it, we call the spider top in the restaurant kitchen. How often would you guys clean those in a restaurant kitchen, your full-on stove?
Well, once a week or as needed, you know. So, I mean, it's on the weekly, you know, cleaning list, but obviously as needed, you would need to keep up on it and just do the deep cleaning every week.
How about the top of the fridge at home? How often do you pay attention to that?
Well, I'm so short that I don't see it as often as, you know, so it's more of an as needed, but I usually do like spring cleaning, so usually at least once a year, whether it needs it or not.
Well, if you get up on your stool to get something out, because we actually store our paper towels and our napkins because they're lightweight, they're easy to access, there's nothing heavy over the fridge, and when I get up on a stool to pull them down, I see the top of the fridge, and it collects a lot of stuff. There's a lot of dust in the air that you never even pay attention to. Inside your microwave, the drawer tracks and slides of your drawers. When you open and close your drawers, things can get caught in there. The backsplash behind the stove. That's a great place for a lot of oil to catch.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things that I like to use at home is the magic eraser.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever use that.
Oh, I do.
It's so good.
I do. And then usually if you can do a degreasing, LA is totally awesome. Have you ever tried that? It's from the Dollar Tree. LA is totally awesome. It's their all-purpose cleaner. It's $1.25. Sometimes you can get the one with the sprayer. Sometimes you can get a full refill that's even bigger. That stuff and a magic eraser can take off some of the deepest grime.
Yeah, and Dawn dish soap. That's kind of a classic. It's my degreaser go-to.
Yeah, I use Dawn dish soap and Simple Green. Simple Green I use on my stainless steel. It doesn't leave a lot of streaks. Gets things really clean. I also, if you go to the culinarilyyours.net website and get this download, I have a recipe in there for glass cleaner. Mm-hmm. It is very simple. Water, vinegar, alcohol, and a little bit of dish soap. That's it. And you can clean any glass with it. No streaks. Do you make your own cleaning products at home?
No.
This one is super easy, and it's so much cheaper than going and buying Windex, and you don't have that horrible ammonia smell. So if you want to get that recipe, you can go online and get that from the pop-up. Also, things to take care of, your knife block. Mm. Knife blocks are a hidden place for things to hide in. Also, your utensil crocks. You have all of your spatulas and your scrapers, and in the bottom of that, also a lot of hidden grime that you don't think to look for. The underside of your range hood, you need to pull those vents out. Mm-hmm. That's another hiding place where a lot of oil splashes up. We take them out and just put them in the dishwasher. How about you?
I use a degreaser on those. So I usually, you know, wash those off really good and then put them in because they're so greasy in a commercial. Well, I'm thinking of the commercial kitchen. So, yeah, that's a big one.
Now, what kind of a degreaser do you use? Do you use something that we can typically buy at, say, Walmart, or do you get something that's commercial?
Dawn dish soap.
You use Dawn dish? Okay, there we go.
For that, too, yeah.
So just soak them, and then once you scrape everything off and get that loosened up, then you still run it through the dishwasher just to get a final sanitization.
Yep, and then I dry it so there's no spots on there.
How about those rubber seals around the refrigerator door?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to get in that crack, right, and go all the way around. Yep, that's on my
And the dishwasher. The dish. Okay, so you stop and think about is dishwashing. It should be clean, right?
No, you got to clean the bottom and run some vinegar through it. And, you know, I like to do that once a month.
Have you ever run bleach through yours? I've done that before, too, just to put like a half cup of bleach and run it empty, nothing in it, to clean out the inside of your dishwasher.
I've done vinegar, but bleach would probably be good, too.
But it's also very good to wipe all the way around the edges around the door seal because it does build up a lot of garbage inside of that. What else here? We've got soap dispensers. How many times do you go up and to grab some soap and the soap dispenser is dirty?
Yeah. That is a good one to clean off. Make sure it's nice and clean.
Lighting covers, bulbs need to be replaced. Those are a lot of hidden things. I told a story about this in the back of a refrigerator. I was cleaning out the fridge. I took every single thing out. And I went to the back and there was this white plastic piece back there. I'm like, well, what is that? And I touched it, and it came off. And I went, there's supposed to be two light bulbs in there that I didn't know I hadn't replaced. And that's something you can get dinged on by the health department, is not having your lighting working properly in your refrigerator.
Correct. Or if you have a missing cover because you don't want to get glass on anything, and you want to be able to see what you're cleaning.
Another safety issue. How about pantry shelves? Okay, we talked about earlier that, you know, we have Metro racks usually in a restaurant. We have them in our house also for storage. They should have nothing underneath them, have a 6-inch space up off the floor. Now, as far as keeping shelves clean and clear in a restaurant, what do you guys use to keep those clean?
So I always have a bucket of soapy water, and then I have a bucket of sanitizer. The quaternary ammonia is what I prefer to use instead of bleach. And so those are my go-to, and then usually a delimer.
Well, I think at home that a lot of times we put down the shelf paper. I think a lot of people think because they put new shelf paper down that they're good to go. But there is still stuff floating around the air that can even get through closed cabinet doors and still settle in those cabinets. If you touch them, they can be a little bit kind of oily, a little bit greasy. So a lot of times you need to take, you know, probably, you know, once or twice a year, take everything out of the cabinet. First off, to clean it, but second, to clean out your inventory.
Yes. You always want to rotate that, look at dates, and clean it out. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that can was from like 5 years ago.
Okay, so what is the term?
FIFO, right?
FIFO.
First in, first out. Yeah.
And what that means is if it's the first can to go in, then it should be the first can to come back out. So a lot of people will go grocery shopping, come home, shove everything in the cabinet, and then everything will get pushed to the back, and the old stuff gets pushed back even further. What we need to make sure we do is all that older product needs to come forward and get first. So if it went into the cabinet first, it needs to come back out first. So
and
rotate.
That'll save you money, yeah, by using the oldest product and, you know, not having anything expire on your shelf.
And then also double buying. How many times has something gotten pushed to the back, and then you go buy at the store, oh, I haven't bought this, and you come home, I've already got three of these.
Especially when it's something random, right, that you don't always use.
Exactly. And then that happens in the refrigerator. So how many science experiments, how much cheese has turned green in the back of the fridge because you were putting stuff in the front and the stuff that was in the back didn't get brought forward and get used. So we got a couple more here. How about the hinges of your oven? And the underside drawer. At home, you have that pull-out drawer if you have a gas stove. There's that drawer underneath that a lot of people don't use. I think it's the broiler on some. That is a huge catcher for a lot of dirt and grime and crumbs. And it can be a fire hazard. So not only are we trying to keep things fresh, keep things clean, but we're also trying to prevent future mishaps such as fires.
And also pest control. Say you want a clean kitchen because you don't want to give access to food to, say, cockroaches or ants.
Ants are a big one. That's why we do not have our recycle in the house. We have a counter, a shelf, that anytime we have something to recycle, it goes onto that counter, so then it gets taken out to the recycle. We used to have a recycle bin in the house. No more. Mm-hmm. The ants found it. Because mm-hmm. you're supposed to empty and rinse out your recycle, but if there's still any lingering smells or odors or sweetness, it can attract them. So all of our recycle goes straight outside. Never stays in the house.
Another one that's important to remember is our garbage can lids should always be closed, and that helps minimize flies as well.
Trash cans, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. Even though you take out the bag, mm-hmm. you need to clean the trash can itself.
Yes.
Because things do get caught in the lid, under the lip. If you have a step trash can, things will fall down into the cracks. So that's another thing you need to take care of. Not just take out the trash, but actually care for your trash can.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to take care of your cleaning products. So you've got to wash your sponges. You've got to wash your sink. You need an abrasion of some sort and an acid. So if you use Barkeeper's Friend that has an acid and an abrasion in it, a lot of people want to know, they look all over the internet, how can I shine my sink? Mm. And some people will look at the shaving cream. Some people think shaving cream. Some people will use vinegar and baking soda. But the basic thing you need to keep in mind is abrasion and acid. Acid mm-hmm. to break down those proteins and the abrasion to scrub it off. And then a final thing that we do in the kitchen industry is to take a towel and wipe out the sink.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that Cal taught me. No matter how much you scrubbed it and rinsed it out, still take a towel and polish and wipe out your sink until it's dry, completely dry, after you use it before the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you guys do at the school?
No. But it's a good practice, you know. We just wash everything and sanitize them and air dry.
Air drying is very good.
Yeah, that's what actually will kill the bacteria with the quaternary ammonia. So for those purposes, it's always good to air dry.
And if you don't have ammonia, so like in Boy Scouts or even at home, mm-hmm. adding a little bit of bleach to your water, that's what you can use as a final sanitary dip before things air dry.
Yes, and so if you're like in the commercial kitchen or even at home, the bleach sanitizing, it needs to be 50 to 100 parts per million, which is 1 tablespoon for 1 gallon if you're doing food contact surfaces. And then if you're doing quaternary ammonia, then that's at 200 ppm, and it's about the same ratio. And they have test strips, so you can actually validate the concentration of your ammonia and your bleach. So that's what's so important in a commercial kitchen. When you have a health inspection, they want to make sure that you're validating your cleaning. So not only is it important to clean, but to validate that your cleaners are effective and working. So they will actually come in, the health department, and test your sanitizing bucket just to make sure that it's working. And then they'll test your dishwasher to make sure that it's working. So your dishwasher needs to be at least 180 degrees if you don't have, if it's using heat to sanitize. If you have a dish machine that's using bleach to sanitize the dishes, then it only needs to be at 120 degrees on the rinse cycle. So, yeah, and then the delimer, you can use that on stainless steel, and it helps to get the calcification. You were talking about something to help break down that acid on there. So those are my little tips and tricks for the commercial kitchen. That we can get the test strips on Amazon, actually, and the quaternary ammonia.
And one last tip before we go to the break is if you do have that calcification, you have those mineral deposits where your water comes out of your door in the refrigerator, sometimes you get that mm-hmm. white buildup,
mm-hmm.
vinegar. White vinegar will help break that down.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's come back in just a few minutes to Cooking Like a Pro after this commercial break.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Save 20 to 30% off all plants at Turtle Bay's 33rd Annual Spring Plant Sale, featuring heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, California natives, and more. The nursery specializes in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The members-only sale will take place on Friday, April 4th, 4 to 7 p.m., and the public sale will be held on Saturday, April 5th, 9 to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. We're not going to be talking about cheeseburgers right now. We're trying to eat healthy. So what we're talking about is keeping your kitchen clean and ready and accessible so that you can actually cook. Because cooking is important to have good, healthy, fresh food. Food is medicine for our bodies. And if we are not feeling like that we are comfortable to be in our kitchen, maneuvering in it and having access to tools because they've been dirty, they're in the dishwasher hasn't been run, we need to develop a routine. Trying to stay ahead of it, keep things clean, keep things planned, so that when you do come home, you can go ahead and open the refrigerator, pull the knife out of the knife block, and get cooking. Real quick, while I'm talking about knives, I was just thinking, well, we talked about this earlier. Wash your knives the second you stop cutting. I have found too often that someone is cooking, chopping, and they prep everything, and then they set the knife on the cutting board, and they push it aside. And then it sits there the rest of the night, and is one of the last things that are ever cleaned after the meal. My advice, clean it the second you're done. If you walk over the sink, put some Dawn Power Wash on it, scrub it, rinse it, wipe it dry with a towel, it goes back in the knife block within 30 seconds.
You would like cooking with me then, because I'm pretty good like that. And even my cutting board, you know, I have that sanitized too, and my knife, and unless it's the plastic one that I use for meat, and then I run that through the machine.
Yeah, plastic I definitely do through the machine. But yeah, hand washing, and you can get right back in the knife block really quick. So, and that keeps you on task. And you also don't have clutter. Because if you don't have room to go on to the next step in the cooking process, that will also frustrate you. So cleaning as you go keeps you on task to go on to the next thing without frustration.
And you minimize cross-contamination. So that is one of my big things. It's like we make something, then we got to clean and keep reset for the next thing. So we always clean and sanitize after everything we do, but also minimizing cross-contamination.
What kind of food can we eat, can we prepare using those nice, clean, sharp knives to help our bodies love us more?
Well, okay, so food is medicine. I have like 10 tips for, you know, using food as medicine. So one of them would be prioritize whole, minimally processed foods, right? So eating whole foods, so not eating anything out of a package. Eating a plant-rich diet, so making sure we're getting vegetables. Fruit's good too, but we want to make sure we're not spiking our blood sugar and we're getting a variety of those veggies.
Now, I'm going to back up for just a second with the first point. So nothing out of a package. Now, let's clarify that. Good whole food does come in packages. We're looking at things that are not processed and prepared beyond the point of their natural original state.
Well, if you're a purist, you know, I would say nothing in a package if you can. You know, sometimes we do get green beans that are already in a bag that are, you know, they look pretty. But if you can get them not, you know, in a bag, usually it's a little fresher. But you got to save time where you can, right? So I'm not against buying anything in a bag.
Well, I'm also talking about, you know, dried beans, rice, mm-hmm. you know, brown rice, things like that. So things do come back because they have to get to us in a certain, a certain, you know, way. But, you know, the most minimally processed that you can come across.
Like dry beans versus canned beans. So that would be a minimally processed, and it's a lot lower in sodium when you cook them yourself, because beans can have a high sodium content.
Yeah.
And then...
Number three.
Include healthy fats. You know, fats have kind of got a bad rap, but if you eat healthy fats like avocados, salmons, flaxseed, walnuts, olive oil, those things are really going to feed your brain and your body. So making sure that we get stuff with omega-3s is really important. And then reduce inflammatory foods. So that would be anything processed or sugars, refined carbs, trans fats, that kind of thing.
And also anti-inflammatory, a lot of spices, the warming spices, such as an Indian food or Spanish or Mexican, those can also help with anti-inflammatory.
Oh, yeah. Turmeric paste is like one of the number one things that you can do, which is turmeric, a little black pepper, and that increases the benefits of the turmeric by like 1,000%.
The availability opens up the availability of it.
And then a little bit of coconut oil in there. And so I do that in some water, and I make a turmeric paste that's a really good anti-inflammatory.
Now, what do you add that to? How do you use that?
If you put in a little coconut milk, you can make a turmeric latte.
Okay.
Which is really nice at night. It's really soothing. Well, in the morning, too, but
Let's say a tablespoon of coconut oil.
So you would do 1 cup of turmeric paste, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, and 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, and 1 cup of hot water. And then you would mix that together until it comes to a little paste, and then store that in a jar in your refrigerator for up to 2 months.
The 1 cup of the turmeric paste that you mentioned at the beginning, where do you get that?
I make it with the dry turmeric.
Okay.
So you would just add the water, the coconut oil, and the black pepper to that.
Okay. And so that you have a large portion available to you at any time.
Yeah. So, it makes a couple cups of it, and you keep it in your refrigerator. And I even sometimes just take it like a pill.
Is it a one-to-one ratio between the turmeric and the water?
Yeah.
Okay. So one-to-one ratio of turmeric to water, a little bit of coconut oil, a little bit of black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also add that to milk at night for a turmeric tea.
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
It's amazing. It's really good.
Okay.
Or you can eat, just take a little spoonful, and if you can handle it, and just swallow it. So it's like taking a turmeric pill, but you don't have the capsule.
Which I do 3 times a day.
Okay.
That one's
so
Boswellia.
You're a pro.
Yeah, turmeric and Boswellia. Those are my friends.
That's great. So, yes, you hit it. That's a great anti-inflammatory. And then to balance blood sugar, because a lot of times there's so much sugar and stuff that, you know, we go up and then down. So eating protein-rich foods will help balance that blood sugar and avoiding excessive sugars. Okay, and then also support your gut health. That's a biggie right now. So you can eat fermented foods like yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, having a prebiotic like onions, garlic, leek, oats, and then staying hydrated will all support your gut health. Okay, and then number 7, stay hydrated. And coconut water is amazing. So it's a nice natural Gatorade. If you can, if you like the flavor profile, not everybody likes that.
I do actually like it.
I do too. And you can also just put a little pinch of salt in your water.
Oh, how about the aloe water?
That's great.
So coconut
really
water
good.
And aloe water. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The aloe is really good for your gut. And then number 9, cook more at home.
Cooking from scratch, if we can get everybody to start cooking more from scratch, less prepackaged items. Yes, we use prepackaged items, but even if you could balance that with half your meal being from scratch.
Yes.
So it's not all pre-prepared.
Yeah, because the stuff that they've had to put in food to keep it
shelf stable,
right? Like our flour, taking the bran and fiber and bleaching it.
All right. And what is number 10 as we wrap things up?
So, just eat in moderation, too. You know, eat healthy, unpackaged foods and cook at home.
All right. So get your kitchen organized, clean, be a space that you want to walk into, start cooking more from scratch, and bring in those wonderful, healthy ingredients that are not in a package, that are organic, and have lots of flavor and fantastic benefits for your health.
And you guys have some fantastic recipes to try out.
Well, we have.